Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Joseph is the 11th son in a dysfunctional family. His father, Jacob, as we saw right off the bat, favors his son Joseph more than all his other sons, and it just causes a lot of discord in the family. And this discord goes back even earlier in Jacob's life, Joseph's father. He's been a person who has shown favoritism before. It's a dysfunctional family. And because of this favoritism and because of this elaborate gift that he gives to his son Joseph, his 10 older brothers just hate Joseph. And to add things to this, Joseph has this dream. Now, this dream is given to him by God. But Joseph makes this bad decision to share this dream with his brothers. It's like if I'm at home and I've got one cookie left in the house and one of my four kids happens to be in the kitchen and asks for a cookie. I may give them that cookie, but I will always say, don't tell the others. But what do they always do? They go and they flaunt it. Hey, I got a cookie. Dad likes me more. Chaos erupts. That's exactly what Joseph's doing. He shares this dream that God has given him. He shares it to his brothers. In the dream, his brothers bow down and worship Joseph. And of course, they hear it and they hate him even more. The scripture says that they can't speak peacefully to him. They can't give any shalom, any peace to Joseph. They can't stand even being in his presence. Three times in this first section of the passage, we hear how much his brothers hate him. And it's a strong word that's used here. It's the same word that God uses about his feelings toward wickedness and injustice. God hates wickedness. He hates injustice. In Leviticus chapter 9, it says this, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. Instead, you are to love your neighbor as yourself. Hate and love, they're opposites. It's both of them are incredibly strong words. And so the leap from hating Joseph to planning his murder isn't a very far one. More than a few verses after they hear Joseph's dream, they see him coming out to the fields wearing his coat of many colors, and they plot to murder their own brother. Now, a few of them talk the others out of actually committing murder. So instead, what they do is they take Joseph and they throw him into a pit. And in some of the verses we didn't even read, while Joseph is in the pit and crying out for mercy, they're so calloused against him that they sit down and have lunch. They just eat while their brother is wasting away in a dried-out cistern or something like that. But eventually they decide not to actually kill him. Instead, they decide to make a buck off of him. And as they see slave traders coming by, they decide to get Joseph out of the pit and sell their own brother into slavery in Egypt. A country they'll never see, a country far from them, far from their father's household. They hate him so much, they sell him into slavery. And then they go a step further, and they decide to lie and deceive their father about what they've done to their brother. They take his coat, which would be really identifiable to their father. They take it, they dip it in goat's blood, they bring it before him and convince their father that their brother Joseph surely has been mauled by a wild animal. And for 22 years, they live out this lie and this deception. For 22 years, they live as though their brother had not been sold into slavery by them, but instead that he had been mauled by a wild animal. The guilt of this, they live with for even longer. They live with this guilt about what they've done to their brother for 40 years, weighing upon them for 40 years. Guilt is destructive. When we have hatred, when we have deceit, when we have lies, and we live with that in us as a poison festering in our bodies and rotting us from the inside, sapping of us of our strength, we have guilt, and it weighs us down. It destroys you. It destroys relationships. If you've been lied to, if you've been hurt, you know how much that hurts your soul. If a person has expressed hatred towards you, you know how much that hurts your soul. If you have lied, if you have shown deceit, it shows that you value yourself more than you value others. You don't truly care. It all eats away, and it weighs you down. And at the end of this story, even with the lie and the deceit exposed, for 18 years it's been exposed, they still carry the burden of what they've done to their brother. And it looks like for 18 years they've been living with their father as a shield, as a buffer between them and their brother. But now their father has died and they're afraid of Joseph, who all of a sudden is powerful. He's second in command of all of Egypt. All he has to do is snap his finger and they'd be thrown into prison. They're afraid of their brother now as they have this guilt over their sin. And so they come to Joseph. They seek forgiveness. They humbly refer to themselves as Joseph's servant. We'll be your slaves. Please forgive us. They know they don't deserve it. But Joseph does forgive them. He speaks kindly to them. He comforts them when they never could. And not only that, but he gives them perspective. And he tells them, this evil that you did to me, God used it for good in order to save the lives of many, many people. The Joseph narrative is one of the best in all of Scriptures. I would invite you to read it. It's Genesis 37 all the way to the end of Genesis. Take it home, read it. It's a beautiful story. But as you read this story that is true, find yourself in it as well. Know that you and I, we are Joseph's brothers. We are filled with hatred. Titus chapter 3 says this, that we ourselves were once foolish, we were disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. We are Joseph's brothers. Romans says this of us, that we could not possibly know peace, that sinners don't know the way of peace, just like Joseph's brothers. We are Joseph's brothers. We have guilt, we have shame, we've got lies in our past, deception in our past, we have times where we have hatred, and we are the brothers. And all our hatred, all our sin, lands upon one person. It lands upon Joseph, or Jesus, who is our Joseph. Christ is our Joseph. Our sin didn't throw him into a pit to be sold into slavery. Instead, it nails him to a cross to be killed as a criminal. And just as the Lord took what happened to Joseph and made it ultimately into good so that many can be saved, the Lord does the same through the cross. He takes the evil of that instrument of torture and death, and he makes out of it the ultimate good to bring salvation to all who call upon his name. His death, accomplished by our evil hands, becomes salvation in God's good hands. He lifts from us the burden of our guilt, frees us from our sins, and allows us to live. Live not as enemies to God, but as reconciled to Him. Live not in hatred, but in the freedom to love our neighbors as ourselves. Not as people of enmity, but as people who can speak the peace of the gospel into the lives of others. And as we are reconciled to God, we then are called by the Lord towards a ministry of reconciliation for others, that others might know the peace of God that passes all understanding through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.